My life is full of choices. I guess yours the same. Some not so significant. We make lots of choices every moment that we barely think of, but some have great significance. I look back at my life and possibly one of those greatest, biggest, most significant decisions that my family made was to leave our home, to leave Bethlehem, and journey 50, 60 miles to Moab. That was a big decision. And the reason we had to was because our town, Bethlehem, which was known as the breadbasket, had become empty. The food that in years past was full, my cupboards that were full were getting emptier by the day. The breadbasket certainly wasn't the breadbasket. I could look out onto the fields where the crops used to flourish and all I could see was deadness. I could taste that dry dust of the tops of those crops in my mouth. And as I watched my pantry day by day by day, there was less and less crops, less and less food to eat. That's why one day my husband Elimelech said, "We need to go." It was a strange decision in many ways, but the pressing need was food, and so he said we should go. My sons, Marlon and Kilion, and my husband Elimelech, let me just introduce you to them for a moment. Elimelech, my husband, well, his name means "my God is king." And how we needed a king in those days. We lived in the days of the judges, the days where everybody did as they saw fit in their own eyes, the days where there was little regard for God. And so how my husband's name was so true, he did so need a king. And my children, Marlon and Kilion, well, you'll probably find this quite funny, that their names mean weak and sickly. And how true that was. And again, it was one of the reasons I think my husband said we should go to Moab. Weak, sickly children in need of a king. That was our family. We weren't the only family to go. As we set out on that road to Moab, we could see other families with us, each searching for food. We'd been told that there was food over the hills in Moab. But some stayed. Some families stayed. And those that did warned us. They said, "You shouldn't go." They spoke of this famine as a divine famine. This was something that God had caused, they said. The rains that hadn't come for a while now, that had caused the crops to die, that was God's doing, they said. They said it was because of our unfaithfulness to God. They said it was because of our idolatry. The fact that we loved the other God seemingly as much as the God of Israel. They said it was because of our lack of love for each other and a lack of justice. That's why they said there was no food in the land. And they said, "You shouldn't go. Instead, you should stay and face up to your sin. Confess your sin, repent of your sin, and come back to God's ways." That's what the people were saying who stayed. But we needed food. There was no food in the cupboards. And so despite the warnings, we headed off with other families down that road to Moab. Well, when we arrived in Moab, it was good to start with. My sons, and you remember their names meant weak and sickly. Well, it stopped because there was food. And my cupboards that were bare in Bethlehem were now filling up day by day. It was good. But then, out of nowhere, this tragedy struck. My husband, Elimelech, died. I can remember the tears coming down my face, the weeping uncontrollably, day after day. This wasn't why we came to Moab. This was supposed to be the land of promise, we thought, but it was turning into a land of emptiness. We thought the grass was greener on the other side in Moab, and it wasn't delivering. I can remember standing by my husband's grave, shaking my head in despair. This wasn't what we had planned. But as day by day came and went, slowly, very slowly, my spirit started to improve. And my sons, Mahlon and Chilion, well, they found wives. Moabite wives, yes, but they were lovely women. Ruth and Orpah, lovely, lovely daughters-in-law. And as they were together, I could see the happiness returning to our family. It was wonderful. Maybe this was the land of blessing. But then just as we began to think that, double tragedy, double disaster, double death occurred. It's bad enough that I should have had to bury my husband, but now I had to bury my two sons. A mother should never have to do that. And so I was standing now next to the grave, not just of my husband, but of my children as well. There just seemed no hope anymore in Moab. Emptiness was filling me up once more. And I began to think, maybe leaving Bethlehem, leaving God's land, the land he gave to our ancestors, to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob and to all the rest, maybe we should have stayed. I spoke about choices that we had to make, and at that point I had another choice, another significant choice to make. Was I going to stay here in Moab, or would I take that humbling journey back to Bethlehem? Well, I chose to go back to Bethlehem, and I took my daughter-in-laws Ruth and Orpah with me. I thought, this is the place to go. And we'd heard on the grapevine that there was food back in Bethlehem, that God had brought the rains once more. And so the three of us went out. We left the road and we started going down that path once more that we'd walked up 10 years earlier. I think it was probably about halfway back, 15 or so miles down the road to Bethlehem, where I just had those kind of double thoughts, those second thoughts about whether this was right. Not for me, I knew that, but for my daughters. You remember Ruth and Orpah? They were Moabites, remember? And I said to them, girls, as much as I love you, go back to your land. May the Lord bless you there. Now, I have to say, you know, looking back, that I was in a state of confusion. Now I can look back and go, well, it's not the land of Moab that is the land of blessing, but it's God's land, Bethlehem. And with God's people, that's the place of blessing. But I was confused. I couldn't see that then. And I just thought, look, it's better for you to go back to Moab. There you will find husbands. There you can have children. There you can flourish once more. But amazingly, they insisted. They said, no, we will stay with you. And almost with more tears coming down my eyes, I said, no, look, it's better for you to go. Look at me, I'm an old lady. Even if I were to go back and find a husband tomorrow in Bethlehem, and even if I was to have children, would you wait for them? That's decades down the line before you could marry them. No, girls, go. Wallopa left. And I can remember that final embrace. And her lips on my cheek as she kissed me goodbye. And then she turned, and I could just see her heading back down that dusty road to Moab. But Ruth, well, she clung to me. Like death and despair had clung to me in Moab, now Ruth clung to me in love. It was wonderful. And I'll never forget her words. Profound, amazing, filling words. She said, I'm staying with you. Your people, people of Israel, God's people, they'll be my people. Your God will be my God. And even if death should part us, I will still stay in the land of Israel, in Bethlehem. You see, what I'd come to realize is that Ruth had found the Lord. She could see that those visible, touchable, tangible idols of Moab were nothing, and that real blessing would be found by joining the God of Israel, the great God of the Bible, the great God of our ancestors. Even though at the time I was utterly confused, I could see that she had grasped the goodness of God. I think all those times that Elimelech and I had opened up the law of Moses with our children and with Ruth and with Orpah, and it had sunk in. She'd realized the greatness of our God and the falseness of those idols. And so there were the two of us, walking down that road, arm in arm, she clung to me. And as we approached Bethlehem, indeed I could see the fields once more, not full of death anymore, not full of dry dust, but full of abundance and life. And I could see that in the distance, in the fields, the harvesters. The Lord had indeed blessed the land once more. And that emptiness that had filled my life in Moab was sinking, and I was thinking, it's going to be okay. There will be hope in Bethlehem. Hope is found under Bethlehem skies with God's people. But then as I entered the town of Bethlehem, I could see all these faces staring at me. And they were going, Naomi. Is that Naomi? She left full. She left with a husband and children, but now there's just Naomi, and who's this stranger by her side? And as we walked into the town, I said to the people, stop calling me Naomi. My name meaning pleasant. Well, I'm not feeling pleasant at all. I'm feeling bitter. Call me Mara, call me bitter, because the Almighty, the Lord, has dealt harshly with me. But I couldn't see in those days that actually that wasn't true. You see, I hadn't left full. We'd left with famine. We'd left with death surrounding us. But I'd returned not empty. I had Ruth on my side, clinging to me, showing me God's love. And there was a harvest. So as I walked back to my house, my old house that day, I thought, maybe, just maybe, there is hope under Bethlehem skies. Now, let me come out of character. What I want us to now do is to look through some of these questions coming up on the screen. I've not just tried to tell you Naomi's story, I've tried to show you what God is saying through this story. But we've had our, if you like, our Old Testament glasses on. And we know that through the eyes of the New Testament is when we see how this speaks ultimately about Jesus and the life that he promises, and then what this looks like for you and I. So let's break into small groups. Maybe just turn your chairs around. And let's just have 10 minutes looking at some of these questions and some of these Bible verses together. And then I'll draw us back and we can have a short question and answer session.